Welcome to Edgemont Bible Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, where our mission is to glorify God by guiding people into a discipleship relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's listen in to today's message by our pastor, Douglas A. White.
Everything rises and falls on leadership. Everything rises and falls on leadership. That's an axiom that is pretty much a modern world term. Everything rises and falls on leadership. If we would talk about leadership, and that's what I'm going to be doing for the next few weeks, and I'm going to be right up front with you. Why am I going to talk about this at all? Here's what I know is true about every single one of you in here. You are destined to leadership. You are going to be a leader. What do you think it means that you are going to rule and reign with Christ? And what you are experiencing right now is the boot camp of life. You are enrolled in God's university, if you would. You're enrolled in God's boot camp. And the things you're experiencing, going through right now, are to develop that leader in you that God intends for you. But we're going to need to learn leadership, because what I'm going to share with you this morning, leadership doesn't always mean exactly the same thing. And I hope to be able to share with you those things in a way that will be meaningful to you. We've used this little maxim in the church here to understand, what is the church about? A church is about transforming lives. That's what the gospel is. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That gospel, by the Spirit of God, penetrates a heart, and it begins to convict a person. When that person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, a transformation takes place in that person that no human being could do. It is a divine operation. It is a godly operation. It's something only God can do. He has changed people. He changes them at the very core of them and gives them a whole new paradigm. If you would, he is downloading in you a whole new program of operation. When you trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, he downloaded into you, by the Spirit of God, the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are called the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He downloaded into you the very work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He downloaded into you the truth of the Word of God. That's the instruction, just plain the Word of God. That was downloaded in you, and that was done so to renew your mind. We know the way we have been thinking, but the way we have been thinking, according to what Isaiah was told by God, your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. We need to learn what his thoughts are, what his ways are, and that intellectually is not possible by itself. We need the transforming work of God. It's called being born again. And when that transforming work of God takes place, those transformed lives are drawn together. And they build community together. They work together. They know they've got the commonness of their salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we say it this way: transforming lives, building community, destined to lead. That means we're in leadership development here all the time. Everything that's going through our life is leadership development, because you're going to lead something. He's going to let you lead somewhere, whether it's your family, whether it's some friends that are gathered around you, whether it's in your neighborhood. It's not about position. This is about a character quality and about who you are and about what God wants you to do with that. So what I want to do, I'm going to show you what leadership was before the fall and what leadership is after the fall. Obviously, when I say fall, I'm talking about that moment at which mankind distrusted God, trusted themselves, ate of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, and having done so, were dramatically altered and changed. So that couple, Adam and Eve, the children that they had would follow after them in that same image. In that same bent and twist, if you would. Why? Because everything brings forth after its own kind. That's the principle of Genesis chapter 1. Apples bring forth apples. The seeds of carrot bring forth carrot. Not sweet potato. They may be close to the same color, but they're not the same thing. The DNA of that is in its seed. And that's what produces whatever it comes from that. Everything after its own kind. And we have been producing after our own kind. So what I want to do, I want to share with you what leadership was when God created this whole thing. and what leadership was after the fall and what we're facing today. So get out your sermon outline if you would. I got some blanks to fill in for you. So I want you to take care of that. I want to show you that God created people to be leaders just like Him. Would you agree with me that God's a leader? Amen. And He created you in His image to be a leader just like Him. Everybody following that? That's what He's done. Well, let's go to Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 28. A familiar passage to us, but if you don't get the beginning, you won't understand the middle. And you sure won't understand the end. Amen? What I'm going to see here is in Genesis 1 and 2, I'm finding two chapters of the Bible in which there is no sin. Two chapters in which there is no sin. And when I come to the end of the Bible, I'm going to find two chapters in which there's no sin. Now, what's in between there? There's some sin. Everybody follow that? But if God, in the beginning, created it with no sin, and in the end has it with no sin, I would think there must be something that's going to take place in the middle, right? So what we're going to do is look at what it was that God was doing in the first place, what changed all that, and where we're at with that today. In Genesis 1, 26 to 28, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Now, is that leadership? Yes, if you're going to have dominion, that's leadership. What am I having leadership over? Stay with me here. There's more than one of us here today. All right. So what does this say? Who am I having dominion over? Who am I having leadership over? How many people? None. I'm having leadership over the critters. Now, hold on to that, because that's going to be important. Because there's something I'm supposed to do with those critters. Let's go on. Verse 27, so God created man in His own image, and in the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." That's critters. So what I want to do is show you what the leadership was, and I want you to note this. That leadership was pretty land specific. God loves the land. God made the earth. And if I can say this, these two chapters deal with a God in which there is no sin, but it deals with the people who were land specific. When I come to the last two chapters of the book, I'm coming to a passage in which it's pretty land specific. Matter of fact, if I come here to Mr. Moses and the guys, that was about a land they were going to be in. And it was about what they were supposed to do in that land. What is he doing? He has taken them from having lost land to recovering land, only to go in exile and lose it again, only to find out in the end it's land again. It's about a new heavens and a new earth. Everybody with me? Now, let's come back here and let's go through some blanks to give you some of those. God created a compatible, complementary team to do the work He planned for them together. When He's creating man and woman, and we'll pick up on Genesis chapter 2. So if you want to look at Genesis 2, 18 to 25, just for a moment, you've seen what we're going to be looking at here in Genesis 1. Let's go to Genesis 2, 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." So the one thing that was not good in this world was that man would be alone, right? Everything else he'd been saying all along, that's good. Now he's going to say that it's not good for man to be alone. And after he creates the male and female, he's going to say, "This is all very good. The program's complete. I have made the final team. I've made the team that I'm planning to carry out all this plan that I have for them on this planet." Okay? So, let's get this together. that was not a solitary duty. He didn't create Adam alone so that Adam could be a great leader over things. He's creating Adam and Eve for a purpose, something he's going to have them do. And he tells us it's about being fruitful, it's about subduing land, and it's about taking care of the animals, if you would. There's a mutual understanding, number one, a mutual understanding of the task. So Adam and Eve are going to both know what the task is they're supposed to do. He gave it to them together. That was the task they're supposed to do. That is the word vision, people. That is the word vision. He gave them a vision. In a minute, I'll show you what that vision looks like it was. And then secondly, there's going to be a division of labor for the sake of the task. They're not going to be each one doing the same task. They're going to have divisions of what the tasks are going to be. And that's because they're in the image of God. You say, well, how does that have to do with it? Listen, here is what God does. The Father plans to create. The Father speaks. The Son creates. The Spirit gives it life. If it's going to come to salvation, the Father ordains and He calls people to the Son. The Son lays down His life to save them, and the Spirit applies that. The Spirit gives them life. Everybody see where we're at? So it would be only reflective of God's glory is if there was a division of labor. Now, get this. The division of labor there is between the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, which one is greater? They're all the same. This is not about authority. This is about function. This is about how we're going to get the task done. The Father says, how am I going to save people? Son says, I'll go for them. Father says, that's good. You'll do it. Spirit says, I'll give them life. Bop, bop, bop. It's about function. It is not about whether or not one of them is greater than the other. They aren't. But they are going to mutually submit to one another. You follow what I'm saying? The Son is going to mutually submit to the Father for the Father's leadership of Him. But they're doing a task together. And that's the same thing is going to happen to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's not doing something on His own. He is submitting to the Son of God to do things. He's going to exalt the Son of God. He's going to be speaking about the Son of God. The Lord Jesus said, He will not speak of His own. He will speak of mine. So the Spirit is submitting to the Son in applying everything that the Son's leadership is like. Everybody with me? So this plan that He had for him was a division of labor for the sake of the task. That's of subduing this earth and all the things that involve. We'll get in more in just a minute. That involved a humble mutual submission in good faith. Submission sometimes is seen as a four-letter word. It's not. It's more letters than that. Fair enough? And it's not an ugly word. It is something that is willingly done. That a task can be done. Now, if it's about my person that I'm concerned about, then I don't want to submit. You see where we're at? But if it's about a task that needs to be done, listen, when there's an emergency comes up, we don't look around to see who can be in charge. Listen, if there's water all over the basement, somebody's got to get going, right? You don't want to all do the same job. You just start getting it out of the basement. Because it's a function that has to take place. This is not about authority. So when we use the word submission, please remove from your head anything about authority. It's not about authority. It's about getting a task done. It's about me submitting my will to another person to get a task completed. Because it's the task that's important. The work they've got to do here is the work that's important. So they were going to mutually submit to one another. That's going to change with the fall, but we'll get to that in just a minute. Letter B. Their leadership consisted of governing the earth, now get this, in the very same way God would. The image of God. That's why they're going to do it. They are the image of God. Now, how did God govern the earth? I want you to think of the delight in God in creating. The delight in God in creating. Here is, He creates all the natural materials to start with. What's He say about all those natural materials? Well, the whole earth is formless and void. It's raw materials. But it's uninhabitable. It's not useful for people at this point. It's, if I can say it this way, I hope it doesn't offend anybody, it's chaotic. And if that offends you that God creates chaos, then just back off that and say God created the raw materials. All right? Now, it doesn't have to be chaos now, but it's chaos, trust me. Now, in that chaos, he's going to bring order out of it. What's he do? He's got the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the deep, waiting. Give the word, give the word, give the word. Let there be light. And boy, as soon as that word is spoken, what's there? Yes, the Father speaks, the Son gives it. He is the light. So, there's the Son. Now I've got Father speaking, I've got light present, and the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the deep. And out of that, he's going to bring this most marvelous creation. Everything you're getting to look at out there, even in Earth Phase 2, the evidence of the disaster that took place, you got a beautiful thing out here. Think of all the processes that are coming. He says just simply separate the waters, and the waters separate, and the land, which had been invisible before, is now there. And that land is coming up loaded with life. There are microbes in it. There's all kinds of stuff in it that's going to break down the soil and make it fertile, because the next thing he's going to do is say, bring vegetation. Whew! Now it's going to be vegetated. And all of that in a compassionate way, because he knows where he's going with this thing. He's going to create critters out here, and he's going to create people out here who are going to eat this stuff here. And he's delighting in the different kinds of stuff that's not all going to be the same stuff. He's saying, let's see, I'm going to do dandelions. You know, one year, Joanna Steve was telling me, her granddaughter came in and she said, I just love that, Pastor White. And Joanna said, well, of course you do. Well, what are you loving so much for? She said, look at all those yellow flowers he planted in that yard out there. It was full of dandelions, and she was just proud of me because I had planted all those beautiful yellow flowers. Well, those dandelions, which are an annoyance to most of us, have wonderful healing powers in them. They have some really great cleansing powers in them. And he's given us whole bunches of them. You reckon he thinks we're sick? You see where I'm coming from? Friends, with that, he's not just giving us nutrients. There's healing in that stuff. He was creating it for that purpose. You see that? Do you hear the compassion of God? He's going to take care of his people out here by putting what they're going to need in the fullness of their life here. And all of that's being created. So this is God's compassion. He's creating out of love. He's creating out of compassion. This is what he's wanting to do. How then do you suppose people in his image are supposed to govern this planet? With the same compassion. This is not rule, boom, you won't do what I say. It's going to be the difference between a horse whisperer and a breaker. Both may get the horse ridden. One does it one way, and another does it another. The Pitts and I got to see a great movie the other night called The Biggest Little Farm. And in that movie, they took advantage of the principles of the things that God laid down in the planet to create a fertile environment. And they did it through following the principles laid down already by God. That's built right into the system. Because it's the compassion of God. That, brothers and sisters, was how we're supposed to be doing it. Looking at the principles of how these things work. What is it soil does? Listen, the whole question of too much carbon in the air can be settled by soil. It's soil that sequesters carbon. It's soil that changes what carbon is. That's what changes carbon dioxide in the environment. If we want to get things done right, it's not just about passing all kinds of regulations. It's about getting our farms back. Getting our yards back to where they belong. Getting them back to where they're supposed to be. Getting the right trees in this thing. Getting the right grass in this thing. Letting the grass grow so it grows deep, deep roots. Well, that's not what this message is about. What I'm telling you is, we were supposed to govern in the same way he governs. You follow that? This is not about ripping off resources. This is about making this planet fruitful. That's what he's going to tell us to do. Be fruitful. Oh, boy. Don't you love it?
I do. Well, anyway, I'm having a good time.
Upon number one under letter B. They got this through direct communication with him, learning from him. In other words, they're coming into this thing pretty ignorant. Would you agree with that? I mean, it's like they're the first ones here. So how much do you know? They're going to be in direct communication with him, and he's going to be speaking with them day in, day out. They're going to be learning what is good. They're going to be learning what God wants. They're going to be learning all about, and as they're experimenting with how to do with this plant, what to do with this animal over here, God is showing them and teaching them the principle that's going to work there. That's what they're going to do. That's going to be this direct communication. Number two, they're going to get character by knowing him. They're going to start reflecting the very character of God because they're in a direct communication with God. Number three, life is going to be reinforced and invigorated by eating from the tree of life. Our food was the tree of life. We were supposed to go to that tree of life, and that's going to invigorate. Now listen, this tree has more than simply food value to it. There is something in that tree that gives people zoe, not bios. Bios is just the kind of life I'm living right now. I've got this body and stuff that's going on with this body. Eat something and feed it and all that. That's bios. But when you want to speak of eternal life, God used the word zoe. So the tree of life is not the tree of bios, it's the tree of zoe. Why? Because the other trees were the trees of bios. That's our food. That's our healing. That's our medicine. That's all the things that go. Are you seeing where I'm coming from? What we were not supposed to eat was of the tree, of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's not what we're supposed to eat. Let me share this with you. That's like asking, telling a diabetic, over there's a bowl of sugar. Please don't eat that bowl of sugar. If I eat that bowl of sugar, what's going to happen to me? There could be a problem. Would you agree with that? What'd he tell them? You'll die. You'll die. Don't eat that one. Another time we'll talk more about that tree, but what right now I want you to see is their life was completely being invigorated by that. They were eating from that tree. All right, let me go on. Letter C. Then he gave them these commands. So back over in 28, he's telling them, I want you to note this, it's not simply commands, he is blessing them. This is what they are going to do. Not just simply what he's commanding them to do, this is what they're going to do. Number one, be fruitful. So letter C is fruitfulness. They're going to be productive. Now, most of the time when I found this word fruitfulness, this had to do with having children. Just almost every time. I think it was only three times it had to do with a land itself being fruitful. But it means to reproduce. It means for things to be reproductive. They were going to, through intimate personal relationships, they were going to increase the team size for the expanding vision and expanding community. As they're having more people, they're having more little images of God, those little images of God are going to increase the community. But that also means I can now extend the work I'm going to do because there's more of us now to extend that work. And what they were supposed to do is subdue the earth. Now follow this. God had planted a garden. That garden is in the middle of this whole thing, best I can see. But outside of that was the wilderness. And it's in that wilderness that needs the subduing. What subdued to what? That's where vision comes in. As Adam and Eve were in the garden, they are seeing what does the temple of God look like? What does this thing look like? Here's what it looks like. Hallelujah. When they step out of there and go to the wilderness, what are they going to see? This does not look like the temple of God. So they're going to subdue it. They're going to start working in that whole area, move this tree here, move the land around here, get the water flowing like it is in the garden. What they're going to do is make another Garden of Eden. And they're going to keep doing that all across this planet till the whole planet is full of Gardens of Eden. You know what this is going to make? The whole earth filled with His glory. And as those people are spreading out from place to place, going from place to place, they are making more Garden of Eden, more Garden of Eden. They are expanding the Garden of Eden. So in other words, they're expanding the vision of God.
Everybody that? All right, let's go on to the next part then. So they're to be fruitful, so they need more people to do it with them. And subdue, letter D, they're going to reshape the earth's wilderness into the image of the garden. They're going to expand the garden to fill the earth with the glory of God. They're going to learn and use the principles of fruitfulness and harmony in the garden to bring wilderness into that temple glory. Okay? Now, here's what it is. They're eating from the tree of life. And as they're eating from the tree of life, they keep on expanding this vision. That's what was intended. It would change, however, if you went to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and ate from the fruit there. That will change things. They're going to die. That now, instead of learning in a direct way from God, as they would have at the tree of life, as they were in His image, they are now going to be left with their own way of doing things. Everybody, I'll come to that in just a minute. Let's go to letter E, please. Dominion. That dominion to rule as God has ruled over the other living beings. Provision, protection, and I'm going to use this word compassion because that's where we're headed this summer. We're going to talk about leadership and compassion this summer. As a matter of fact, we may go into the fall with it as well. God's leadership starts with His compassion. He is moved to do things. He is moved with compassion, and you see this of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why does Christ come? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's why Christ is coming. God's compassion for His world. God's compassion for what He had created. Jesus was moved with compassion. Our leadership is supposed to be just like this. Now, the leadership before the fall, if I can say it this way, the leadership before the fall was faith-filled, it was humble, it was mutually submitted to one another. It was teamwork. It was engaged in service and engaged in compassion. Everybody with me on this? That's what was going on. This was a team that was going to serve the earth, and in serving the earth, serving the critters, serving one another, they would be serving God. Because they're going to rule just like God. They're staying in a direct communication with God. They're staying in a direct fullness with God. They're understanding who God is all the time. All right, let's go to what happened after the fall. And this is going to be a teamwork pattern. So what happens after the fall? Eating from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil would alter their state with God. So I'll go to Genesis 3. And let's look at some of the details over in that one, Genesis 3. And it says then, I'll just pick up in verse 4. She was told not to do it, and they said, if you do that, we'll die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, those of you who see in your Bibles, it's probably got capital G, capital G-O-D, in that fifth verse there, fifth verse, probably has capital G-O-D. It may or may not have. That is simply the word Elohim. Now, those of you who've been with us for a while, you know what we're talking about when I talk about Elohim. Elohim are the inhabitants of that heaven region. They are spiritual beings. It does not confine itself simply to the one being, Jehovah, that we call God with a capital G. It comprises those that, unfortunately, the English language has given it little G-O-D. It's the Elohim. He was telling them that if you eat of that, you'll be like the Elohim. In what way? Now look carefully at that verse and see what it says would happen to them. You'll be like the Elohim. How? Knowing good and evil. That's different. How were they going to know good before? Direct communication with God. Everybody with me? Direct communication with God. They were in union with God. They were going to listen to Him that way. If they came over to this other tree and ate the fruit there, what's going to happen to them? Well, that's going to break apart. They are now going to know good and evil. Not simply good, but good and evil. That's what's going to be their whole way of thinking now. Let me go on with you further. Number one in this, distrusting God violated the principle of relationship, the operating system of God and His living beings. Listen, every relationship that we have, whether it's husband and wife, son and mother, children and parents, whatever that relationship is, business, whatever it is all based on trust. All based on trust. It always has to be. It's a handshake. It's a word. It's an appreciation for one another and the integrity of one's word. That's trust. And that's a principle that was laid down by God at the beginning of this thing. The relationship Adam and Eve have with Him is one of trust. By trusting Him, there's a direct communication with them. As soon as they are listening to what that temptation was going to be, and as soon as they are deciding now, they can make their own decision about good and evil. They don't have to trust God. As a matter of fact, He probably lied to them. They went then eating that. They're not trusting God. So by distrusting God, they violated a relationship. Therein lies the sin. An alteration is going to take place, but the sin is in this. They violated the very principle that kept them together to start with. Trust. If I can say it this way, that distrust of God extended even further. It became distrust of each other. I think I'll show you that in just a few moments. Well, let's go on. The fruit itself altered their image. Here's what I know. After they ate it, look with me, please, in verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Now, wait a minute. When were they naked? From the beginning. At the end of chapter 2, it tells us that, and they were naked and unashamed. Never even noticed it. Never paid attention to it. But after they eat, whoop, vision changes. Image changes. Now, they're seeing each other as naked and shameful. Matter of fact, they're covering themselves up with vegetation. Go on with me further. It didn't just do that. It changed the way they thought. It changed their appearance. It changed the way they thought. Look at it here in verse 8 of 3. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife looked forward to it. Because this is what they did every day. They were in direct communication with God. They had a great conversation together. What does it say? They hid themselves. Why? Their thinking had changed. They weren't thinking the same way anymore. Now they're thinking that naked is evil. Had it been evil? No. No, it had not. It had been part of the good that God gave them. But now it becomes evil. Further, it didn't just change that, it changed the relationship. Now they're not in an open, good relationship with Almighty God. They're separated from Him. And if I can say this, in number 3, this alteration would affect their children negatively. Why? Because the principle laid down in Genesis 1 is everything brings forth after its own kind. A change in Adam and Eve in the way they thought, a change in Adam and Eve in the way they looked, a change in Adam and Eve in their relationship now gets inherited by their children. And their children are going to have that same problem. A change in their appearance, a change in the way they think, and a change in their relationship. Now, instead of being openly running to God, they are going to run, hide, and shift the blame. Just like mom and dad did. When it's going to be whose offering is the best, it's going to be shift the blame. It's going to be murder my brother. Alright? Let's go to letter B. They lost daily consistent communication with God. They lost the presence of God. They lost the beauty of the holiness of the temple of God. They lost a lot. Matter of fact, in that temple of God where they were living, here's all the beauty, here's all the provision, everything is out. And outside of there is the wilderness. When you live outside in the wilderness, it's not the same provision. You're going to have to work harder for the provision out in the wilderness because now you don't know what foods are good for you. You may eat foods that were good for the badger, but they sure are bad for you.
You might eat food that was really great. I mean, we don't eat grass. Why do we not eat grass? It's green. It's vegetation. We can eat vegetables because it doesn't digest with us. Now, it does with cattle. And we can appreciate its digestion with cattle. Matter of fact, I appreciate a lot of things about cattle. I can take all that sequestered carbon, all that sequestered sunshine that they have inside their little body and munch on it. It's delightful. I can drink their milk. There's all kinds of things to be done by that. But I'm out in the wilderness now. I don't have the same kind of vision as before. It's going to be harder out here. Everybody follow that? All right, let's go on and examine a little more what he said. Letter C, they had chosen to learn from their own reason alone instead of the revelation of God. Can you imagine having the entire, if I can say this, divine Google at your hands? All the information you would ever need about any given plant. Father, how does that work? Download. Okay, let's go put that to work, Eve. That looks pretty good. And you're going to give that up now so that you can go and explore? What's this plant do, Eve? I don't know, Adam. What does it do? Here, eat it and see. I mean, why not? He'd already done it before. Would you try this and see? You didn't die before. Maybe you won't die with this one. Eat that root, whatever you're going to. Folks, it's going to change. It's going to change dramatically. Now they're going to have to depend on their own reason every day. They're going to look things over. If I can say this, it is this that has caused us to even have to have an argument in Springfield, Illinois, about whether it's right to kill babies or not. What does that? This is the knowledge of good and evil. We have to have an argument about it. We can't even come to a common agreement about what's true and what's not true. Why is that? Because of this. This is what changed. And now we've decided that we would decide on our own what's good and what's evil. Instead of getting it directly from God so we know what is good, we opted to go to reason and figure out for ourselves. Now, reason is a great gift. If anybody walks away and says, Pastor White doesn't believe in reason. Nonsense. I need informed reason. Reason works great when it's got the right information. But without the right information, it doesn't work so good. And the whole revelation of the Creator would be the right revelation to have. I would need that. He knows what He made. He knows how He made it. He knows what He did it for. I would need that. And that would inform my reason why things work the way they do. They'd opted to leave that one completely off. Okay? They had inadvertently declared their independence from God. They had inadvertently declared their independence from God. Now, unfortunately, what that means is they became separated. They died. Our life comes from Him. Now, that didn't mean they ceased to exist. They didn't. That simply meant this. That direct communication's gone. God's broadcasting in 91.5 and they're set at 93.7. They're not on the same wavelength anymore. It will take an act of God's grace to move over and say, turn the dial, son, back over here so you can hear what I have to say. And even then, some will not listen. Everybody feel that? Letter E. Their relationship would be distrust and competition. Now, in a capitalist system, competition is a wonderful thing. It causes you to improve your product. It causes you to get better about what you're doing. So when there's something that comes up, competes against you, as long as there's not competition, I can be okay with a mediocre product. But somebody comes along and puts a little twist to that thing and makes it a little better, then I've got to upgrade mine. But if you have a mutual task that needs to be done, competition is not fun. Competition is not the same as getting different perspectives. That means I have somebody on the team that's working against what I need to get done. And that's going to happen with Adam and Eve.
Matter of fact, it was said this way to Eve. Look back at Genesis 3 again. In speaking with Eve, he said in verse 16, I'll greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Now it says this, your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now, that distrust that originally started back when she ate and gave to him, and then he throws her under the bus, that's when that distrust began. It's only going to magnify the further they get along in this thing. And they're going to be in competition with each other. Why? Because it says her desire, and that means that she wanted to rule over him, and he was going to rule over her. So you've got a competition going already. So it's going to change that. Work is harder and more difficult. The earth would resist. Rather than beautifying the earth and making it like the temple of God, they would learn to use the resources for themselves and not for something beautiful for God. They weren't interested in a connection with God anymore. They'd given that one up. Now they would make utopias. And it doesn't matter whether that is Aladdin's utopia or it's the utopia of AOC. People are after utopias, kids, because we remember the garden. The memory's there. Well, Judy Collins has to write a song for Crosby, Stills, and Nash Young to sing. We got to get back to the garden, she says. Woodstock is going to do that. Because the garden is in our memory. We want some utopia. If I could just get the kingdom of God back. The only thing is, I'd like to have the kingdom of God back without Him. And that's why there's a competition, an ugly competition. Now, if you can say, letter H, having dominion over people now, not simply the natural world. What is going to lead to? Conflict, war, and death. What are you going to get out of it? So after we leave that, after the fall, and we're getting this desire for things, this competition, we're deciding now, the earth is mine to be used for me. I want more gold. I like the way this gold looks on me. And it's not now about using the gold. I mean, let's face it. God uses gold as a building product. He puts it on the streets in heaven. I mean, for Him, it's not the same thing it is for us. All right. So a new leadership model would develop. It would transition to these new conditions. And that's what's happened to us today. It will become the modern model. You're going to have some character traits that are the same in both of them. But you're definitely going to have a model change because it's no longer going to be mutual submission. It's going to be this competitive work that goes on. We have more to say about this next week, so I hope you'll stick with us on that and come back next week to find out more about this because there's something wonderful that God did in this transforming work of the kingdom of God. Well, look to the Lord in prayer just now. Father, we thank You in Jesus' name that You have called us to a great calling. Open our eyes that we might see it plainly and clearly. There's much You want us to accomplish, and we know that. Help us to be a people who can see that, can understand it, and want to cooperate with You. Grant us the humility and the faith to do things as You want them done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Here, let me just share with you the truth. God is seeking to restore the kingdom of God. He's going to restore the kingdom of God. Let me just say that point blank. Jesus is that restorer. Jesus is calling us to come to Him right now. He's seeking a people who will be with Him in that restored world. He's seeking a people who will be the citizens, the rulers, the leaders with Him in that. In seeking that, He's calling people and He's paid for their sins. Anything that was separating them from God has been paid for by Him. He's calling you to Him to come be a part of that whole new restored world. Today's a great day for you to get in the right side of this thing. Get off the bad side of this thing. Stop trying to be your own sovereign. Stop trying to be your own ruler. Stop trying to find another sovereign, another ruler. It is Jesus. And only Jesus. Put your trust and confidence in Jesus today.
We hope God has encouraged you with today's message by Pastor White. Thank you for joining us at the Edgemont Bible Church. We'd love to have you visit us if you're ever in the area. For directions, more information, or to support the ministry of Edgemont Bible Church, please go to our website at edgemontbiblechurch.org. That's Edgemont Bible Church, all one word, .org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Edgemont Bible Church, where the Sunday morning message is broadcast live.